KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly cloudy skies, 72 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy here today with scattered showers and thunderstorms, a high of 85. Radar does show some scattered showers and thunderstorms, primarily north of Highway 44 and east of Highway 30, and those are pushing off to the east-northeast. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. In area news, a dedication ceremony was held Wednesday evening just outside of Oakland for the new Riverside Community School District's junior-senior high school.
If I had to describe this building in one word, it would be wow. That's the number one thing I've heard so far from our students as they walked in the late summer, from our parents that were accompanying many of them, eager to get a first look at the building, from our patrons, some of you have been through the building already, and it is so much fun when we have guests from other towns come now playing sports games and listening to the kids from other towns walk into this building not knowing what to expect. And wow is the number one word you hear.
That's Principal Paul Goot. The $22 million facility located at the intersection of Highways 59 and 6 just south of Oakland was designed to replace the facility that was built around 1930 and is the first built since reorganization of the Carson, Macedonia and Oakland school districts into Riverside in 1993. The facility has three levels, two gyms and locker rooms on the bottom floor, an auditorium, office, music, art and kitchen on the second floor, and classrooms grouped into the middle school and high school spaces, and a media center on the third floor. Superintendent Dr. Timothy Mitchell took over the district's top job in July from Dr. Jim Sutton, who had earlier this year announced his resignation.
I've been a superintendent for 22 years, and so I've started 22 school years. And I can tell you, and I've mentioned this numerous times, I have never been in a school district that started the school year with so much energy and so much pride and so much enthusiasm. It has just been absolutely a humbling experience for me and an honor for me to come in here as your new superintendent.
Other speakers at the event included seniors Lucas Wilbur and Lillian Smith.
I'm elated to be a part of the first graduating class in the new school, and my own personal school spirit has never reached this level before. And I believe this new building has a lot to do with it. Riverside school pride is at an all-time high. Even if the scores and records don't show it, every spectator there is cheering on the Bulldogs, who are out there giving it their all. When you walk into a home sporting event, there's such a different vibe than there has been in years past. The school spirit is coming from more than just the sports this year, though. If you venture up to the academic wing, you get to meet the great teachers of Riverside, where an education is taught and relationships are made.
Lillian Smith, who is a member of the FFA, spoke of the fondness students have for their teachers when she mentioned the new Ag Votech building and how it would serve the students well. Smith choked up when it came to beloved Voc Ag teacher Sherman Roten, who died on May the 31st.
Although we started the year without an important person, he still influences our Ag program with everything we do. I'm sorry. This building will help aid our ag and industrial tech students by providing the proper space and tools they need to succeed.
Both students thanked the community for the new building and grounds. After six attempts, voters approved a $15.1 million bond issue for the new building in June of 2013. Groundbreaking of the project began in July of 2014, but there were several delays resulting from heavy rain during the summer of 2014, excavation and other issues that kept pushing the move-in date back to the spring of this year. Superintendent Mitchell said there are some loose ends of the project to tie up.
We continue to work forward to totally complete the project. We've got some work on the outside with the turf. When you hydro seed and then we have a 4-inch downpour, that's not always the most successful way to plant grass. So we'll go to plan B. Phil and Jeff and I are going to work with the contractor on that. And we really want to move forward to make sure, get our scoreboards up and get the athletic complex ready to go. Get the football field and the baseball field and softball field completed.
And Mitchell said a new addition is coming in a couple of years.
We're going to add on. Why not have some more construction? A long time ago, there were some grants that were hopefully were going to be done with the building originally, but now we'll be adding on a tornado safe room, which will be a safe room for the community. And DLR Group will be coming along as partners again to help us design that and get that started over the next couple of years. And we'll have three additional classrooms up here to allow us to bring sixth grade up here, and we're really excited about that, and so we're continuing to move forward.
The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office reported yesterday a Council Bluffs man had been arrested Tuesday night on drug and other charges. Authorities say at around 11:35 p.m., a deputy on patrol saw a vehicle whose driver was possibly intoxicated or tired. A traffic stop resulted in the arrest of 18-year-old Jackson Butler Rackley of Council Bluffs for possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, and possession of drug paraphernalia. The sheriff's office said also 45-year-old Frankie Joe Guerin of Irwin was arrested at around 8:50 p.m. Tuesday for driving while barred. Her arrest took place after a deputy responded to a report of a pickup traveling on Interstate 80 without its headlights on. And the Pottawatomie County deputy arrested 21-year-old Cole Bernard McKenzie of Council Bluffs early Wednesday morning. McKenzie was taken into custody for driving while barred following a traffic stop at around 3 a.m. in the 24,000 block of Greenview Road. A former city clerk in Northwest Iowa has been convicted after making a plea deal in a Nebraska child sex case. Court records say 61-year-old Douglas Furlick of Lawton on Wednesday entered a plea of no contest to an amended count of attempted sexual assault by use of an electronic communication device. Sentencing was set for November the 9th. The Lawton City Council in Iowa fired Furlick after his arrest. The Nebraska State Patrol says Furlick had posted an ad online saying he was looking for a younger guy. Officials say an undercover officer responded, pretending to be a 15-year-old boy. Court documents say Furlick went to a South Sioux City, Nebraska park in June to meet the boy. He was arrested there. A survey conducted last year at the University of Iowa shows that one in five female students said they had been raped. U of I Sexual Response Coordinator Monique DiCarlo said freshmen are most vulnerable, as 11% reported they were raped in their first semester on campus.
It's the first time that they're away from home in a significant way, and they're establishing intimate relationships for the first time.
The results of the sexual assault survey were presented at a news conference Wednesday on the Iowa City campus. DiCarlo says the U of I's response plan involves adding staff, but also extensive education and student involvement.
The reason that we're doing that is that our climate data suggests that students are most likely to tell their peers about an incident. And so we want to make sure that students are prepared to hear their peers' disclosure and that they know an effective way to respond.
The plan also involves expanding resources for people accused of sexual misconduct. Nearly 2,700 students responded to the Speak Out Iowa survey conducted last year. DiCarlo noted the response rate to the survey was only 9.3%, and 3/4 of the respondents were women. The Department of Veterans Affairs Clinic that serves veterans in northwest Iowa, northeast Nebraska, and southeast South Dakota will be moving from Sioux City into a new South Dakota building after it's built. Derwin Goodspeed is the director of the Sioux Falls, South Dakota VA healthcare system. He said this week at a town hall meeting in Sioux City that he hopes to have the new Dakota Dunes Clinic open within a year. The new 25,000-square-foot clinic is designed to serve 7,000 veterans a month as compared to the 7,000-square-foot Sioux City clinic that was designed to serve 1,500 veterans but actually helps 4,000. The clinic will serve veterans in Woodbury, Plymouth, and Cherokee counties in Iowa, Dakota and Dixon counties in Nebraska, and Clay and Union counties in South Dakota. Finally, in state news, flash flood watches and warnings are posted across northern Iowa after severe storms rolled through. Bob Fisher reports from Mason City.
Some spots of Floyd and Butler counties received as much as 10 inches of precipitation since the rain started falling Wednesday afternoon, with the rain being accompanied by large hail and reports of tornadoes Wednesday evening. In Green, multiple homes are now being impacted by floodwaters from the rapidly rising Shell Rock River. Butler County emergency management officials say the river was near the record level that it reached in 2008.
The news was brought to you this hour by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.